Praise God. John chapter 1, if we would please, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man." I want us to look at that verse a little deeper. In Him, speaking of the one who was the Word, we know the Word to be Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, in Him was life. And here it's called the life. And the life was the light of man. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read one verse out of John 5:25. Don't have to go there. Jesus speaking. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus speaking of himself. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." The life. He just didn't say, "I am life." I am the life. The life that God offers through Jesus Christ is a special life. It is the only true life. It is not a life based upon just improved circumstances in your or my life. It's not a life based upon because things are going well and everything is going pretty good, so I think life is going pretty well and pretty good. It is a life that is provided by God. It is a life that unless one is born again, we have no comprehension of the life of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Religion cannot provide life. There's no life in law, in the religious law of the Old Testament, and there's no life in religion that we have even today that we see in the denominations. The life of God is not us just trying to do better than we did last week. The life of God is a divine provision that comes through the cross. Amen? And only those who are born again have experienced the life. The life. The life. There's only one, the life. Amen? And we either have it or we don't. But I'm believing most of us here are born of God. And if you're born of God, it was that life of God that dwells in you that birthed you into that kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning's message, experiencing the life of God. Let's go before His throne. Father, again, as we thank You for those that have gathered in Your name, it's our heart, Lord, and we implore Your blessing today from the throne of God. We are asking You, Father, to anoint this service and to move every heart within the hearing of our voice. Father, it's our prayer today that You strengthen the preacher and give him Your word. And Lord, that You touch the hearts of the hearers. And Lord, let them receive the engrafted word of God that is able to save our soul. And Lord, move by Your Spirit. Bring life to this service. Your life, divine life, the life. Let it be sensed. Let it be known, let it be experienced today. In Jesus' name. And everybody this morning said amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Upon the rebellion of Lucifer, this thing called the death world began to be implemented. If we look back in eternal past, in the history of God, way before the earth was created, we realize by reading the scriptures that a rebellion took place in heaven. A rebellion so severe, the Bible says, that it pulled a third of the angels towards this archangel by the name of Lucifer. We know him better as Satan or the devil. We realize that there is a power of darkness out there and a kingdom of darkness out there. And friend, once you've been born of God, that world of darkness becomes ever more real to you because now you understand that there is a kingdom of darkness out there headed up by the powers of darkness, Lucifer himself, Satan, or the devil, as we would just, he would be better called. Amen. But this is what's interesting about this death realm, or the realm of death, if we call it. I was reading or hearing something on TV not too long ago, and they tell us in the vast universe out there, the universe of God, they tell us that the stars that we see today, the light that you see from these stars, they say that sometimes a lot of those stars are from planetary bodies that have either at one time exploded or what they call a star that has died. And they say it may take upwards of 500 million years for some of that light to reach planet Earth. It tells us that the light we are seeing could have very well come from a planetary source that had died off some 500 million years ago. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make with this death realm thing is that God created the universe in the beginning of what he would call time. And God, understand with God, there really is no time. Time was made for man's sake. Amen. But see, God creates everything good, and everything that God creates is full of life. In fact, the Bible even says in the book of Job that there was a time when the morning stars sang together in chorus, worshiping the Lord. The morning stars, by many theologians, are talking about the planetary bodies out there. Somehow, when God created everything way back whenever he did, everything was created with the life of God in it. Amen? And what we have to understand is as we look back through history and look back through time, and you'll see glimpses of it in Scripture. Some people ask, why doesn't God say more about the eternal past? He's given us as much as we really need to know. And if everything was written that could be written about God, this building couldn't contain the books. So God had to limit knowledge to a certain degree, amen? But the point I'm trying to make here is that upon the rebellion of Lucifer, when Lucifer himself, where it says in Isaiah chapter 14, it says this, he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, thou son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. But yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" You see, Lucifer, upon his rebellion, the pride of his heart, and Lucifer was created as one of, how can I say it? According to Scripture, we get a little glimpse into his creation. But the Bible said he seals up the sum, meaning that when God created Lucifer, God created Lucifer as close to himself without making him God. In other words, let me simplify what I'm trying to say. Beside God, Lucifer would have been next in line. He sealed up the sum. There was nothing more could be added into his creation. Amen. And Scripture hints that at one time Lucifer once led the celestial choruses and choirs. And they sang praises to God and worshiped God around the clock, 24/7, if we want to call it that. Lucifer had been created perfect. Perfect in beauty, perfect in wisdom. But he got lifted up because all the intelligent creation of God is created with free moral agency. God will have no prisoners in his creation. They have to be given the capacity to choose God or to reject God. And we realize that in the cosmos of eternity past, that Lucifer lifted up his heel against Almighty God and pulled a third of the angels his way. And he was cast out. And somehow, we can't explain it, but as simple as I can make it, something died in the universe of God. Something changed. Planets started exploding. Stars started burning out. You say, how can that be? I can't explain it, but I know this. Everything God creates is with life and with a purpose. He creates nothing void, the Bible says. Nothing God creates is void and without life. But upon the rebellion of Lucifer, the death world ensued. And now that death began to spread through the universe. Amen. But let me tell you what happened. God wasn't left with his hands tied. God, in the eon of eternal past, had a plan. And God interjected the concept of the cross before he even formed the world. Listen to this. According to the scriptures, in the heat of the rebellion, God interjects the cross. In Revelation 13, we are told that Jesus was the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. Peter would say it this way. It would talk about the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And then Paul in 2 Timothy would tell Timothy, he saved us and he called us with a holy calling according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The point we're trying to make is that the cross is the central event in time and in eternity, and it addresses the death problem. Even before God renovated planet Earth, and before God created man and put him in a garden in a perfect environment, God, knowing he would interject another free will creation into his universe that had been infected by the rebellion of Lucifer, that had the death realm out there, knowing that man would become part of that cosmic rebellion already in progress because Adam transgressed and Adam sinned and the whole human race has fallen since that time. But God in his mind, knowing how to deal with free will creation, interjected the mindset of the cross before the world was even formed. We get criticized often for all you preach about is the blood and the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ. You think it's a major deal? Why don't you talk more about the resurrection? We talk about the resurrection, but the resurrection is not the source of life. It is the byproduct of the cross. Amen. You and I might have a brand new car in that parking lot. You can glory in that car all day long. You can tell your friends, look at my car. Boy, this is great. This is wonderful. But do you know that car is not the source of itself? That car came from a factory where there was a designer, and they put that thing together and made it work that you can enjoy it today. That automobile is not the source. That factory is where it came from. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Life came from the cross. Resurrection life is a byproduct of the cross. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus comes through Calvary, through the cross that was foreordained in the mind of God before God even made the world. You think we make too much of the cross? No, my friend, we don't, because it is the source of the life. Amen? Which all of us in Christ should be partaking of. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We go a little deeper into this subject. In the heat of the rebellion, God interjects the cross. It is the central event in time and in eternity past. And it's the only thing that addresses the death world. You see, now God renovates the earth and he creates man. Man lives in his garden paradise and he is enjoying the life of God. Adam walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam was in a paradise. Adam had everything right. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Man who was created, even the Bible says lower than the angels, but it means a little lower than the Godhead. Man outranks the angels. But God created man in that garden and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. Man was brought to life by the life of God that was breathed into his nostrils by God himself. Amen. And had not Adam sinned and rebelled, even to this day, Adam and Eve would have brought forth sons of God, daughters of God. But now the human race has been hijacked as the death world began to knock at Adam's door. And Adam was tempted and Adam fell by transgression. Eve was deceived. Adam was in the transgression. And Adam fell. And now we live in a world where nothing works like it should. Realize today the death world now spreads into the earth realm. The curse, you got to remember, the earth was cursed. But the curse is the absence of the life of God. What is the curse? When God cursed the earth, God lifted his life from it. Just like somehow in the vast creation of God, in the rebellion of Lucifer, when those stars exploded, when planets begin to collide or whatever begin to happen in the cosmos of God's universe, somehow God pulled back his life, and the only thing left in the void is the curse. And the curse is the absence of the life of God. The curse is the absence of the life of God. That's why when we curse somebody, we are, by our language, withdrawing the life of God from that person. When we ask God to damn somebody, we are asking for the life of God to be withdrawn from that individual and they be banished forever from the presence of God. See, but the death world now enters into the earth realm, and man has fallen, man has sinned, and the rebellion expanded into this realm that we know today as the earth, and the creation of God in this earth. Walk with me through this, because I'm trying to go somewhere with all this. You see, the death world now spread into the earth realm. The curse, like we had just said, is the absence of the life of God. But today we have to realize that the death world is all fallen human beings. No. The bottom line is that when you and I are born as human beings into this world, we are born in what the Word of God teaches as original sin. We are born absent of the life of God. As we are born naturally as products of Adam and Eve, we are born without the life of God. We have life, we live, but it's a life that is lived by the faculties of the flesh. Our heart will pump, we breathe air, we have the faculties of the human body, and we exist. But we are void of what the Bible calls the life of God. This is what life is in the realm of the curse. It is called sinful man, and sinful man turns on one another. That's why we have war and crime and mayhem and heartache and selfishness. And this is why we have the self-centeredness of man, and man is so consumed with himself, me, myself, and I, and us four, no more kind of mentality, you see. And this is why man's inhumanity to man is acute and severe, because men now live without the life of God in them. We're alive, but we're dead, according to the standard of God. Are you walking with me through this a little bit? We're still trying to go somewhere. But I have to lay this foundation to know where we're going with the life of God. So understand, when the Lord knocked at your heart's door, whenever it was in your history, and he began to get your attention, and all of a sudden, one day, you were brought to that point where you begin to turn from yourself and turn to the living God by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've came to God on scriptural terms, then the Word of God tells us if we believe on him, we'll have his life. In other words, we become born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. And when we were born again, it's not just you trying to turn over a new leaf. It's not you and I just trying to do a little better. You and I began to come alive. We were resurrected from the dead by the life, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. You and I were born of God. We got saved. And friend, we experienced the life for ourselves. Amen. That's what changed you. And I go on to say that any man, any woman, any child that is truly born of God has had a change of heart and a change of life. Not by what you did, but by the life that invaded your life by your faith in Jesus and him crucified for you. Amen? Hallelujah. We became partakers of the life. The life. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm washed. My Lord, he regenerated my spirit. It is the God life that lives in you, that lives in me, amen? Hallelujah. That's why the unsaved do not and cannot comprehend the life of God that is in you. Paul would say it this way. in the Ephesian letter. He said, I say this therefore, and I testify in the Lord that from this point forward you don't walk like other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, Paul is saying now, as the church, as the child of God is born again, and you are living by the power of the life, don't go back to the old dead life that you had apart from being born again. Don't go into that old life no more. There's a new life in you. If any man is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God who reconciled us unto his Son. So there's a new life. I remember when I was born again, there was a new life in me. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't get religion. I got the life. And it raised me from the dead, spiritually speaking. The life. The life. The life. The life. It's a life. It's his life. And it comes through the work of the cross. God, before the world began, interjected into this death realm the concept of the cross. And he ratified it 4,000 years into the creation of man at Calvary 2,000 years ago. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was evidence that the life was now available to whosoever will. Amen? Whosoever will, let him partake of the water of life freely. The water of, we could say, the life. The life. The life. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So the life of God, the life of God, is now reintroduced to man through the cross. And in that life, we find in it the absence of sin and death and that which corrupts. The life of God will never lead us into a sinful lifestyle, howbeit we'll still sin from time to time, because we're still growing in this thing called the life of God. Understand, you and I that have been saved, born of God, born anew, we have a new life and a power source that was never there before. It is the life of God that lives in you. And in this life, there's some wonderful, wonderful attributes. Think about it this way. Adam forfeited the life of God, but Jesus, the second Adam, regained it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in this life, it is the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We don't live under the law of sin and death as believers. We don't live in the death realm no more. We're part of it in this cosmic rebellion that is yet to be, how can I say, ultimately overthrown, because Paul said death is that last enemy that will be destroyed. God does have a master plan. And that master plan is to catch the church out of this world. And God will bring judgment to this world. And God will send his Son into this world for 1,000 years to straighten out the mess. And at the end of 1,000 years, Satan, Lucifer, a third of the angels, the angelic hosts that threw in their lot that operated the death realm will all be cast alive into the lake of fire, and they will be exiled there forever and forever and forever, banished from the life of God forever. Amen. And God will renovate the earth, create a new heavens and a new earth, and God will bring his throne from heaven, from planet heaven, if you want to call it. You know, people wonder, where is heaven? The Bible says somewhere in the sides of the north. People get upset when some theologians will call heaven planet heaven. Well, what is it then? It is a place with streets. It is a place with streams. It is a place that is populated by angelic hosts. It is where God dwells. The throne of God is there. There are spirit animals and spirit horses there. Amen? There are trees there. Where does that dwell? There may be a planet out there called heaven. Amen? But one day, however that is, and I'm just speculating a little bit here, hallelujah, but understand it this way. One day, heaven is going to be brought to earth, and earth will become heaven. Hallelujah. That is the eternal plan of God, because the life made it so. the life made it so. Folks, as we are born of God, death no longer has to operate in your heart and in your life and in that which is around you. In the life is the absence of sin and death and corruption. That's why as Christians we love life. He that will love life and see good days, you know what it says? Watch your mouth. Let him see that his lips speak no deception, no guile. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen? That's why as Christians, Paul was saying, you don't walk like other Gentiles used to walk. You're born again. You're saved. You have the life. You have the power of God. You have the grace of God working in you. Amen? Our life is different than what it used to be. We've been brought out. And the difference between you and the unconverted is you have the life of God in you. And you are experiencing day by day, moment by moment, the life. The life of Christ. Paul said it this way. I'm living, but it's not me. But I live by the faith of the Son of God. The life that I now live, it's by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me and gave himself for me. Amen. Are you living in the life? People say, man, this is the life. And you know all it is they got a lawn chair on a beach somewhere and they go, oh, this is the life. No, that's not the life. That's just a nice circumstance, and I think all of us would love to be there today. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's not the life. That's a good life, but it's not the life. God wants every one of us to experience the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of that life. It's an endless life. Amen. And we receive it by faith. You can see the evidence in a child of God who's walking in that life. No matter what's going on around them. You can kick at them. You can spit on them. They're just going to get up and they're just going to love you. Well, not me, Pastor. Well, do you have the life? Because if Christ is in you, Christ ain't going to let you just be a brat and be a bruiser. Amen? So, are you with me so far? See, the life of God has been reintroduced to men through the cross. And that's why the message of the cross is so important. You and I, upon being born again, we've experienced the life, but that life has a little maintenance to it. The maintenance isn't not by what we do to maintain it, it's what we're believing to maintain it. The life is maintained by the faith. The life you've received when you were born again is maintained daily by the faith. The faith. Not your faith, the faith. What's my part in it? I got to believe it. I just got to believe it. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That's what he's talking about. Upon being born again, receiving Christ into my heart as Lord and Savior, I've been changed. I've been born again. I'm newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Yes, I've been changed. So Christ lives within, but that daily faith, the faith is maintained by my daily believing upon what was won for me at the cross. And if I'll do that, I'll enjoy a resurrection life every day. The source is Calvary. The source is the blood. The source is what was done there by God the Son on Calvary's tree. That is the factory that produced resurrection life. The cross, the work of the cross, is God's factory that produces the life. Boy, you're just not hearing today. The cross, the finished work, the shed blood, the Savior hanging on that tree, in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and 4,000 years into human history, Christ now hangs on that tree, shedding his blood for you and for me. That was God's production factory. And God produced the life. That is the source of all blessing right there. Amen. And that is to be the source of the believer's faith. Yes, we enjoy resurrection life. Yes, we talk about the resurrection. Yes, we talk about the new life in Christ Jesus. But we receive it because we're believing where it was produced. Glory. They say when a house is built, people walk through a glory in the house, but they want to know who built this thing. The real focus, Jesus said, who gets more honor? The building that's built or the one that built it? The one that built it. Amen. Andrew was in a play over the weekend for his school, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And a car had to be built. Oh, that car. It's all you heard. You know, who built that car? Who built that car? See, people saw the thing, but they wanted to know. And they didn't go up to the car and praise the car. They thought the car was neat. But they wanted to give accolades to the one who built the car, right? That's how this cross thing works. I'm enjoying a life. It's an abundant life. It's a resurrection life. But where did this come from? Who built this life that I can partake of it? That's why the true born-again child of God glories in the cross. I'm enjoying what the life factory produced through the cross. But I'm enjoying the source where it came. And I look to that and I give praise to God that in His mind He built this thing. It is God that built all things. And God, who has a universe that is in partial rebellion, came up with a plan. And in this plan for the angelic host, this plan for the universe of God, this plan for fallen man, God, in ultimate wisdom, was able to produce life, the life, in the midst of a cosmic rebellion, a celestial rebellion. Even a natural rebellion of natural man. And God made a solution that addresses the death realm in eternity and the death realm in the earth realm. Amen. Is the only thing that deals a death blow to death. Oh, death, where is grave? Where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Because death was conquered by the Son of God on the tree 2,000 years ago. All pre-planned in the mind of God before the world was ever made. So this thing called the message of the cross, the word of the cross. My friend, you better comprehend it. Because in our text this morning, the word was interjected into the universe, the word being Christ. But the darkness comprehended it not. And we have many people that have darkened minds. Even in the body of Christ, that don't understand the life that comes through the cross. That was a pre-planned event before the world was even created. And Paul said, those that reject that message, he said, woe to them. But he said another thing. I just forgot the scripture. It happens, senior moment. Paul said, I'll glory in the cross. Oh, they become enemies of the cross. Enemies. My friend, you don't want to set yourself outside of the life and take a seat in the death realm and fight against God's provision of the life. And we do that by unbelief. We do that by religious practice and negating the finished work of Christ. We push that aside when we don't like the people that are bringing forth that message. There's one message that will save. There's one message that will give life. And that is the blood of the cross, planned in the mind of God before the world began. the life. Let's put a cap on this. Adam forfeited the life of God. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, regained it for us. In this life, it is called by Paul in Romans 8:2, it is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But in that life, the heart of God is seen. For God so loved the world. In that life, God's heart is seen. He didn't have to do what he did by becoming man and dying for man's sin to provide man a new life source, per se. We see God loving his creation. Let me throw this out there while we're on this subject. Do you realize because God is life, God kills nothing? Every angelic entity, every human being that has ever lived since Adam is yet alive today somewhere. Some religions teach annihilation. When you die, you're dead, you're gone, like an old dog in a grave, that's it, you don't exist no more. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that, soul sleep. And if you're not one of the favored ones to be resurrected, you just kind of go into nothingness. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Every angel, fallen or even in right standing with God, is yet alive today. And every human being that has been born into this world is alive yet as I speak somewhere. Man, God in him was life. God can't kill his own life. People say, why doesn't God just kill off the devil? He can't. It goes against his nature. He created it with life. It must live forever because it's God's life. What I'm trying to say that everything, every bit of free will creation, angelic or human being, they will live forever and ever and ever. That life can never be annihilated. But God has demanded that in his free will creation, because of the choices we as free will creation make, we will either spend eternity in the portals of glory enjoying the life of God, or we will be banished forever with the devil and his angels, who will be alive for all eternity in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and forever. There's two outcomes of all life. Either alive with God, enjoying the life, or banished from the presence of God forever in this place called the lake of fire. We know it as hell. And every individual that ends up in either place has made a willful decision to choose their destiny by either accepting God's remedy, God's provision of the life, or the rejection of the life through willful transgression. The life. God showed his love in the life by giving his son to this fallen world, into his fallen creation. You know, in the redemption and restoration of all things, one day the planets will be restored to their original glory. Everything in the creation of God, because the death realm will now be, eventually will be corralled and contained and banished from the presence of God forever. That's why when you read your book of Revelation, there's a place in there, and if you read it, it said the smoke of their torment will rise up before the throne of God forever. That is the open pit, the open lake of fire, where all rebels, cosmic and alike, will be cast in there alive, it said. They'll be cast in there alive. Well, I thought they died. They didn't die. They're living somewhere. The physical passed away, went back to the dust. But the one, the thing, the entity in them, the spirit of man in you, will go and be living eternal somewhere. Amen. That's why when you play religion, there's no life in that. God does not honor religion. He honors his life, the life. True faith is the life, my friend. It's not your little baby baptism because some half-drunk preacher sprinkled a few sprinkles on you, gave you a certificate, and everybody had cake over at the house and said, now he's a child of God. My God, will you read your Bible? And half of us in the church will still say, well, they were still, you know, God still. No, my Bible said there was a day God winked at the ignorance of men, but not no more. And we got preachers that can't preach the truth because they're afraid of their congregation will leave. They're afraid they won't have a paycheck. They're afraid they won't be liked. Who cares? Somebody's got to tell people the truth. Somebody's got to raise up my Lord with the life in them and say, this is right, this is wrong. Listen, we're not here to condemn anybody. My God, we're trying to preach the way out of that death. Men live in the death realm today. Adam's fallen race, everything you see going on in this planet, it's the death realm. The only place where the life is known is in the house of God, in the heart of the child of God, who has partaken of divine life, even though it's a deposit of divine life. There's so much more God has for us once we get to eternity. But we have the down payment of it now. We have the down payment of it now. Hallelujah. And we see the heart of God, who could have left us just be lost, who could have not cared about his creation. But God, out of love for man and love for the angelic host, for that which he created, for the love of the life that he put in his creation, made a way that men could find new life and experience the life by simple faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In that life, oneness with God is experienced. John would say it this way, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love you and I that have tasted of the life. You got to be overwhelmed with God's love for you. And realize you did nothing special to earn this divine merit, this divine favor, if you want to call it. You believed what was provided. You believed what was provided through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We experience oneness with God. I remember being born again and being new in my salvation experience in the fall of 1984. This was so new. It was so exciting. It was breathtaking. It was a new heart and a new life. I never stayed at anything more than a few weeks. But I've been living for Jesus for 30 years, not because of any great thing I've done. He's kept me all these years. He has kept me. The life will keep you. Amen. The life. Approach your relationship with God as the life. Not a duty. Not a work. Not a list of standards and do's and don'ts. And it's a life. The life. It's the life. Amen. In that life, we see the heart of God. In that life, we have oneness with God. What Adam lost, we see restored in fellowship with God. In this life, full redemption is realized. The Word of God says he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Meaning the curse of the law of sin and death. Listen, as a child of God, you're no longer under religious law of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. But we've been free from the full effects of the curse. Even though we're living in the curse realm, this world is still cursed. It has been, the life of God has been withdrawn from it, but the life of God has been interjected back into it through believers that have accepted the life. That's why the church is so important. The church is the only thing in the death realm of the earth that displays the life of God. And God chose to display his life not in the cosmic wonder of God's creation of the universe, as wonderful as that is. God made it that men who would be born of God would carry the life of God, and that life would be seen of others. That's why you and I are a spectacle. We are a spectacle, Paul said. But the world hates you because it hated the life. That's why I crucified Jesus Christ. The only place you're going to see the life of God is in a born-again believer. That's the only place you can see it on display. Amen? Amen. That's why it's so important that you and I exhibit daily faith in that finished work. That the life of God can have its full potential in you and in me. Amen. The life of God. The life. Are you experiencing the life this morning? Amen. Amen. You see, full redemption is realized in this life. This is where grace functions and reigns in the believer. The Word of God tells us in Romans that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, this is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus right here. Sin used to reign unto death in your life and in my life. But as that used to reign, now let grace reign through righteousness. You know, people attack the grace message, but Paul said, no, the grace of God works through righteousness, not unrighteousness. Amen? Unrighteousness is the death realm. The righteousness of God is where the life is. And if I'm dwelling in Him, then the life is making me separate, holy, consecrated to God, believing upon that life that dwells in me by faith. Amen? It's kind of a teach-preach this morning, isn't it? Grace functions and reigns in the believer's life by our simple faith in the life. You know what it looks like when grace is reigning? When grace is reigning in your my life, there's a joy, there's a peace. Somehow all things are working together for good, for our good. Somehow He's making us the head, not the tail. Somehow there's a strength, there's a power, there's an ability that works beyond us and even our wisdom and our own, how can I say, our own ability to make things work in a good way. Grace is the unmerited favor of God extended towards you and I, the undeserving. You need the grace of God working in your heart and in your life on a moment-by-moment basis. I need it. You need it. But it functions through the life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In that life, sanctification happens. I'm almost finished. Musicians, please. The Word of God says, for though our outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. The sanctification process is something most of the modern church does not understand how it works. You and I understand how salvation works. We've repented. We've asked Jesus into our heart. You and I that have experienced that life, the life, realize that something is new here, and that new life takes me out of my old sin life. Amen? But as time went on, we weren't taught how to live in the life on a daily basis. We didn't understand how the process of sanctification works. So what we had is a plethora of believers not understanding how to walk. The way we got in is the way we keep walking. We got the local legalist got a hold of us and gave us a standard of things or a list of things that we had to do to maintain that life. And so we began to appropriate the list. And we started, our little group does this and this, and we don't do this and we don't do that. This next group says we do this and this and this and this, but we don't do this, this, and this, and this. You know, and on and on and on. And so now all of a sudden you got 30,000 major denominations and religions and belief systems out there, and it's a plethora of garbage. But there is one truth yet that will make us free. And there's one truth that will sanctify your life on a daily basis, appropriating to you the life and the victory that comes with that life on a daily by moment basis. And that is by your continuous faith in the finished work of the cross. The way you got in is the way you stay in. Amen? It's not by what you're doing. It's by what you're believing. And if you don't think that's a trouble, why do we got so many believers back in sin, back on the bar stool, back in fornication, back in filth, back in misery? And if they can hide that, then they're most miserable and they're mean as a junkyard dog and they're full of gossip, malice, hatred, strife, debate. Amen? Everything else. And friend, I've always said it this way. We can all behave for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning and put our smile forward. But you know what? It's what we are out there. Amen? It's what we are out there. That God sees, that men see, that those closest to us see. Jesus came to transform lives. And listen, we all are on that potter's wheel. We are all being sanctified. There are areas in our life that we can't overcome by ourselves. Amen. God deposited the life in us, but that life will ever expand in your heart and in your person by daily faith in Christ and Him crucified for you. And as that life expands, things begin to change in me, but oh, it's a slow process, friend. Oh, it's a slow process, friend. And that's why Paul said we're to be patient one with another. Listen, you and I, we can see things so obvious in one of another that needs to change. Come on. That needs to be addressed, every one of us. There's not a person here that if I said, okay, put a name on there and gave you a white slip of paper with this person's name, now you write down what you see obviously needs to change in that life. Listen, we can all... My God, don't pick my name, though. You'll need several pieces of paper. I mean, you'll get writer's cramp before you... The Word of God says He can make that weaker brother stand. You may see things in people right now that bug you. But it's obvious God isn't dealing too heavy with that area in that person's life right now. God might have that on His calendar 7 years from now, 3 years from now, 8 years from now. That person is coming through a lot of other developmental stages before God gets to that point of their life where that thing that you're noticing will change. So we better get off people's back and focus on our own personal walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? God does things in His time, not mine and not yours. Doesn't mean if something has to be addressed, it's got to be addressed. But we're talking about in the long run, that God is dealing with that life, that person. God is changing that life. That's His domain, not mine, not yours. I like what Lauren Larson says. Eat off, you know, that's a buffet table. Eat off your own plate. Amen? Imagine coming to a church that's pretty much judgment-free. For that to happen, believers got to be understanding the message of the cross. Amen. But if there's something going on in your life that needs to be corrected, it'll be corrected. Amen. So there's two sides of this coin. Hallelujah. I think I got one more point, and I want you to hear this. In that life, the heart of God is seen, oneness with God is experienced, full redemption is realized, grace functions and reigns, sanctification happens, but this is where resurrection triumphs. Because the life you now live, you live as a life from the dead. I don't live like I used to no more. I don't live in the death realm like I used to no more. I sojourn in a fallen world, but I'm a pilgrim, I'm a sojourner, I'm passing through. I'm living by the life of God. I'm living by the life. It's a place where resurrection triumphs, where the Word of God would tell us through Paul, reckon yourselves to be dead unto the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Peter said it this way, being born again, where the life of God is experienced. My friend, we're all called to eat of the tree of life, and that tree of life is Jesus and Him crucified for you and I. I'm not going to frustrate this grace. I'm going to love what He has done. I'm going to maintain the life by simple faith. Hallelujah, on a daily basis. My God, let's stand, let's shout, let's rejoice this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's enjoy the life, the life, the life. Hallelujah. In Him was life, and He was the light. The life was the light of men. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're not enjoying the life as you ought to, it's just a faith thing. It's a faith thing. You and I just need to daily acknowledge our need for Jesus. We need to focus on His blood shed for me 2,000 years ago. And if I'll believe that, I'll start seeing again. I'll realize the victory again. This work is a progressive work in all of our hearts and all of our lives. We're all being changed from glory to glory to glory. The work of God is an eternal work. He'll spend the rest of your natural life developing you into His image and into His likeness. It's time we walk with Him. It's time we enjoy the life and experience the life to the full. If you have a need today in your heart, something we have preached, God has put His finger on, let's come to this altar. I'm going to ask the elders, Brother Carl, Sister Ann, Brother Greg, Sister Arlene, Brother Roger, Sister Joan, Elizabeth Honey, if you would. Hallelujah. Sister Virginia, if you'd come, please. If you have a prayer need today, let's come to this altar. Let's take a few moments. And let's let the life have a deeper effect. Because Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is committed to your development. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let's come. Let's come. If you need prayer this morning, let's come. Let's come. Do we have a song? Let's come. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't hold back. Let the Lord do a work. He loves you. He's given you and I His life.
He counts the stars one and all.
Let's come.
Knows how much
Let's take some time with the body of Christ,
shows.
The elders of the church. Come on.
Is every sparrow
if you have need, let's come. Let's let God work. Let's let Him work. Let's let Him
he
work.
He made the mountain and the seas. He's in control of everything.
You have any prayer needs today? Let's come. Let's acknowledge
all
the Lord.
Creatures great and
Let's
small.
Come to this altar. If you need the Lord
he
to do a work, a miracle
in
your life,
name.
Let's come.
And every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, and I know I'll be just fine.
Anybody else today, you have a prayer need in your life.
He knows my name.
Let's come, let's let the Lord touch us.
Hallelujah.
Let the Lord do a work, come on.
I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed.
Oh, let's worship Him this morning. Let's love Him today.
He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, oh, He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed.
Hallelujah.
By see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
Lord, have your way here today, Lord. Move in the hearts of all those being prayed for this morning, Lord. Father, meet their heart's petition, their cry, their desire, O God. Father, do a work, O God, even our live stream audience. Bless them, touch them, move on them, O God. Lord, let them know the life of God that is in Jesus Christ. Touch every heart, every life in this congregation, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding that we see, O God, that which Christ is.